This is Elise Forbes with BYU Idaho Radio. Brian Pope, this week's BYU Idaho devotional speaker, joins me here by phone. Thanks for taking the time to join me today.
You're welcome.
So to start off, your devotional address began with a powerful story about a sister who was a returned missionary that you met while you were serving as a missionary in the Philippines. And she shared a scripture about cleaving unto God. Do you have any advice about how students can follow this example and hold fast to God on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, there were so many wonderful examples that were given in our discussion board this week. But for me, this missionary, she exemplified someone who was doing those things in difficult times.
Mm-hmm.
And that sometimes can be hard, you know, because we just say, you know, we need to remember to pray and read our scriptures, and we know those things. But seeing her do it in her struggle, it just sunk into my heart. And I think sometimes that's what it can be for us. When we minister and work with each other, we get to see each other in those situations, and that helps us to, you know, reach out and help each other, but also it softens our heart unto God a little bit more.
Were there other experiences that you had during your time in the Philippines that helped you see the gospel in a unique light while being around a culture different than the one you grew up in?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime it's your first time away from what you're used to, you start to kind of look at everything a little bit differently. But what I saw in the Filipinos is just, I think, a culture and a people who are so kind and so thoughtful that it just sort of, it made me think about what makes me happy and what is the source of lasting happiness, as I saw them, you know, kind of drift towards those things more than maybe the things I had drifted to, you know, before I got there. And that change helped me to see those things a little bit more clearly.
And another story that you shared focused on a time when your uncle showed you mercy as a boy. You were a little bit afraid to talk to him, but he was understanding and didn't make you feel less than or bad about the situation. And what are some other examples of mercy in your life or other people's lives that have helped you feel God's love?
Well, you know, I've made so many mistakes in my life, some of them very big, you know, combine-like failures. And people have shown me mercy. My father is one of those that I think about who, you know, had a sort of a stern way of making sure that we're doing the things that we needed to do. But he was always an example to me of somebody who would drop what he was doing to serve others and give that gift of mercy to others. Even sometimes he wouldn't even give it to himself. You know, he was always ready to give it to others. And I've also seen that as a parent, that, you know, it helps me understand God's mercy towards us as a parent, because as a parent, I want to extend mercy and love to my children when they make mistakes. It's not like I don't want to hear from them if they've made a mistake, or I want to get, you know, all up in the face if they've made a mistake. I want to be there to help them and love them. And I think, you know, both my father and being a father has helped me to understand that love and desire to extend mercy, but to still hold to high standards.
Tell me a little bit more about your family.
Well, I love them. It took us a long time to get to our family, and I have a wonderful extended family who I think really helped me root and ground myself in the gospel and values. But you know, my wife and I have been married for 22 years, and for the first almost 7 years, we didn't have children. And, you know, we learned how to cleave unto each other a little bit more and things during those times. But we were able to adopt our two boys, who have just been a phenomenal blessing in our lives. They have rewritten the script, as it were, and that's just been a powerful way to learn the gospel of Jesus Christ in that role. And then we've got two twin daughters that have just brought so much joy, unexpected joy, because we weren't expecting to have more family. Mm. And they have just been a joy. And it's just been a wonderful experience to learn how to rely on each other, to love each other and our weakness and our happiness, and to enjoy spending time together. So hooray for families. We sure are blessed to have them.
That is very true. You also said in your talk that the Lord loves effort. And you talked about ways that we can be maybe tempted to get a little distracted sometimes. Do you have any other advice for students who want to act in faith more and show that effort, but just feel on a regular basis kind of discouraged by how easily that they get distracted from that?
Yeah. You know, we really do live in a world of distraction, and Satan is just using all of those different, you know, ways, whether it's a notification on your phone or you know, TV or whatever might be going on in our lives, that we have lots of distractions around us that he can use. What I find works well for me is that if I will pause in the morning before my morning prayer, and I'll think of all the ways that Satan might come after me that day, you know, maybe where's he going to show up and what types of temptations and distractions is he going to put up to try to get me to follow him that day. And then I'll make a plan, you know, like, oh, maybe if it's been a hard day at work or something like that, maybe I'll be tempted to maybe be a little short at home. And I'll think, well, what would I do before I open the door and go, you know, through the door into my family to make sure I show up and I'm there for them? And I make that plan with the Lord in my morning prayers. And I promise the Lord that when this happens, when this distraction shows up, or when I think these thoughts, this is what I will do. And I commit to the Lord in my morning prayer to do that. Then when that happens, and it almost always happens, you know, kind of like you can predict mm-hmm. how Satan's going to show up. But when you've made a plan and you've committed to the Lord in prayer, I find more power to resist Satan and to be more focused on the Savior.
That's really good advice. I think, you know, growing up, we always hear you have to make the decision before the temptation comes, you know, but a lot of times it's used for things that maybe seem bigger, right? Temptations that we might face, but that can be a daily thing when we know our weaknesses. At the end of your address, you quoted a scripture from Mosiah in which he encouraged us to believe in God and believe that he is. What are some ways that we can choose to believe, like this scripture says?
Well, you know, there's lots of things I think we can do every day to choose to believe. One of them is to not get hung up that you don't have to know everything. You know, sometimes we feel like we just have to know everything or be able to Google everything. Mm-hmm. And that's not sometimes the way the answers come. We need to be able to walk forward in faith, knowing the most important things, that our Father in heaven loves us, that he's reaching out to us as a father, that he really is cleaving unto us. And if we can just remember that and let that be something that pervades in our life, then I believe that the things that we know we should do will come easier. And we'll get to a point, as I mentioned in my talk, about the point of where you persist in a worthwhile task long enough that you get more reward out of it. And if you do that long enough, like, you know, if you get in a habit of studying the scriptures and praying long enough, you're going to have rewards that will come from that, so that you won't have to remind yourself, like, oh, you know, I really should read my scripture today, I really should pray, because you'll want to do it. And I think it's just about sculpting and changing your desires to desire more the things that God wants. And that, I think, comes through love, learning how to love the things of God more.
Well, yeah, love is probably the highest motivation that there is to act. Just as a final question, what inspired you to choose this topic? Was there any moment that helped you make the decision that you wanted to write about cleaving unto God?
Well, you know, as I thought about what I might be able to say, and then I kind of just turned it over to the Lord and said, well, what's the message that you want? And the message, the feeling that I got was that people need to know that God loves them and that he's cleaving unto them. And when I thought that, that feeling of love from him came into my heart, and I just felt like that was the message that should be shared, that God loves us, that he's cleaving unto us, that he's seeking after us. And then the experiences kind of came back to my mind in my life where I learned to cleave unto God. And that's where it kind of came from.
I love that. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today about your devotional.
No, you're welcome. Happy to do it.
That was an interview with this week's devotional speaker, Brian Pope.